Blog Talk Radio.
About to bring it, the power of the hour, my son, my son. Well, Father,
yeah. Who it is? House of the Redeemed Servant.
Shabba Shimi, I was Shabba Rakata.
Hey,
come on, Ak. Yabaraka Yahweh Bashama Mashiaki Hawashai.
What's up, Ak? Yo, Jeremiah.
Yeah.
It's cracking,
Ak. Yahabashim Yahweh Yabaraka Ta.
Yeah.
Kwam Yashirala, giving all praise to the Abanawa Yahweh Bashamashiaki
Hawashai.
Jeremiah.
Hold up.
Please say to Yah.
Got that boy Karasa's out with me.
How's your team serving?
Are you ready for the race, boys?
Let's get it.
Bring it on.
Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah. 100,000, 44,000. Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah. 100,000, 44,000. We ain't playing, yeah, standing on these corners, yeah.
What?
We taking games, yeah, put them in the Bible, yeah. Ezekiel 37, greatest seeding army, yeah. Come see what we about, we'll change your route, we moving out. You my battle line, and what was the war, what you waiting here for? Come see what the hell you're facing, with D, he'll break the nation. Sounds like a little revelation, heard players coming 1 hour. Utterly burnt, we will devour, Yahweh Shai, who's the power? As you can see, you ain't dealing with no monkey. We want our money, you gon' pay us for slavery. We mad as hell, but we ain't take no apologies. You say you're sorry, just go get out that money. Reparation, boy, we want our reparation. Separation, boy, we want our separation. We want our own flag, we gonna get our own flag. But keep your damn sin, just keep all of your damn sin.
Hebrews are coming,
Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah. 100,000, 44,000.
Get down or lay down. Be about it or be without it. Cut us in or cut it out. Yasha Allah on the Kwam now. We woke up, y'all so stuck in ape. We got next on this Exodus and it's a good feeling. I'm with the killer. Give me the Edomite, I'm a whip and feeling. What you thought? Yeah, I wish I was thought for something. He's an awful something. You got a beat coming. Ain't no sweet love. In fact, run tell that. 144,000 whips on your back. And the slain of the Lord,
mine enemies,
they shall be me.
Not that I should reign over them, bring him hither, and slay them before me.
Their lives are worth
all nations are
less
nothing
than a penny.
Bless
and
me, me
so this, there was no reason to drop in the vessel. Nobody's gonna miss you. The earth is in mourning. Your life is the issue. A rapist and murderer, stealer of lands, and all of these sins by the white man's
hey man,
hands.
I'm smiling now while I'm reading about us stomping out y'all infants, the Africans and the Arabs in it. This is what is called recompense. We sentiments while we tucking in our children for their best. I'm sorry, got a problem.
We want our own flag, we gonna get our own flag. We want our own land, we gonna get our own land. But keep those hands, keep all of your hands, keep those hands, keep all of your hands.
Now I don't care whether you clap or not, but I'm saying to you,
we got next.
Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are coming, Hebrews are coming, yeah.
100,000, 44,000, 100,000, 44,000, 100,000, 44,000, 100,000, 44,000, 100,000, 44,000, 100,000, 44,000, 100,000, 44,000, 100,000, 44,000, 100,000, 44,000, 44,000, 44,000, 44,000.
The Hebrews are coming.
We take this thing too serious,
and
you Gentiles better start running. That 144 not bluffing, you claim you wasn't responsible for those dozens of millions, but that's not optional. You stole our land and took us by billions and put us on the boat to the ceiling. I'm about to pop my top cause I'm feeling, hope that I'm worthy enough and I'm willing. He can put the sword on my hand and I'm killing. Blackjack dealer, I'm dealing. Ain't no member yet, and I hope you remember that. But I got a vest, untouchable, an alien nest. We got a garment down to the foot, breastplate on the chest. With a girdle on.
Try to help set the people that the Gentiles fronted on. As a matter of fact, they got a trap in the shop in the house like Home Alone.
That's right.
Nowadays, everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when I talk, talk, talk with the Hebrews. Just hold on, we going home.
Mashiach, Yahawashai, who is our Redeemer, who is our Deliverer, who is our Savior, who is our Commander, who is our General of the nation of Israel, Yahshalah.
Hebrews are coming. Hebrews are coming, yeah. Hebrews are coming,
coming.
Hebrews are coming, yeah.
Shalom, and good morning, Baba Kwata Wab.
Keep a damn for war, Negroes.
Oh,
that niggas not stand the hell up, man. They don't give a damn about you Negroes, man. But you want to love every damn body, man. And everybody hates their goddamn guts.
This is how we banging on Esau. Prophesied scriptures flaming on Esau. Friends ain't holding hands with no Esau. Repent, it ain't a chance for no Esau.
Let me wait a second, make sure that's it. I think that's it. Okay, I'll be forgetting about this, y'all. Good morning, y'all. Baba Kwatu Wav, which means good morning in the ancient Paleo Hebrew. And welcome to another episode of Sword of Truth Presents Bible Talk, sponsored by ISBHPK. I'm your host, your brother, your friend, Tugger Pai. I have a guest this morning in the building, y'all, in the bayat, which means house in the Paleo-Hebrew. But my guest is the brother, Bayat Sapar. Welcome back to the show.
Shalom, everybody.
Yeah, you got to speak up, Bayat.
Shalom, everybody. Thank y'all for having me.
Yeah, y'all. Hope everybody is healthy. I hope everybody's doing well. Especially coming off the High Holy Days, man, the Day of Atonement. Well, first, the Memorial of the Blowing of the Trumpets, then the Day of Atonement. Then this weekend, man, it actually started, Sunday? Yeah, Sunday at sunset started the Feast of Tabernacles, but the ISBHPK are going to be celebrating that this upcoming weekend at a disclosed location. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing the brothers and the sisters. I've heard that the H-Town camp is coming up to join us. Matter of fact, I confirmed that yesterday with the brother Kwaku Zop. Big shouts out to him. Shouts out to the VA brothers, the Rochester brothers doing their thing. Check them out on YouTube, y'all. Also, shout out to the San Antonio brothers who are also on YouTube, dropping classes 3 to 4 days a week. Check them out as well, y'all. A lot of stuff I want to get into. Some stuff I ain't going to be able to expand on as much as I would like to this morning, but we got a two-hour window, man, so we're going to get it done. If it's your first time tuning in to the show, the first hour of the show, I cover current events, news, just general information. Like I said, I hope everybody is healthy. I know we've had several brothers get the virus here in San Antonio. Not recently, but brothers have had it. I myself I've had it. My wife has had it. But here recently, a couple brothers down in H-Town have come down with the virus. And they're getting back to health. I want to express to all, man, all Israel worldwide, to be cautious of your health, y'all. Be cautious of the crap you're putting in your mouth. Back away from the table a little bit. I hope the Day of Atonement springboarded a lot of people to go on fast. I need to do a fast on the real. To go on fast, to be more conscious, man, and to understand that, man, you can go a little bit without eating. Your fat ass, excuse my French, your big ass can afford to skip a couple of meals, man. Have some discipline about yourself. And the reason I'm saying this, y'all, is because a lot of us on the seafood diet, man, we see food, we eat it. We ain't turning down nothing. And a lot of us have these fast food based diets, man. We just eating up everything. And then we got it in our minds that, okay, I can just eat what I want to, and I'm going to work out, and I'm going to be healthy. No, man, that ain't going to happen. You cannot out-train a bad diet. There's no way. I don't care how much you work out. And then not only that, man, what are you doing to your immune system by putting all this garbage into your immune system? You have to be more conscious of what you consume, what you put in your body, especially this day and age, because we know that the coronavirus is an immune virus. It attacks your immune system. So what you need to do is build your immune system up, and I'm going to give the cocktail recipe out once again, like I've been doing it recently. So the first ingredient for the COVID cocktail, the Corona cocktail, is oregano. Oregano oil, peppermint oil, garlic oil, clove oil, buffer vitamin C, all right? And you can add cinnamon to it as well. Drink it with a half cup of OJ 3 times a day. And this is for the people that have contracted the virus. For the people that haven't, you can drink it also just to keep your immune system up, or you can take you some selenium on the daily. Selenium is good for boosting the immune system, as well as elderberry. You can get that in your system as well, man. And be safe out there. All right, so the first scripture I want to get, like I always do. Give me a second, y'all. We're going to definitely go to Psalms chapter 118, verse 24.
Psalms 118 and verse
24. Yeah, here we go. It's at the bottom. All right, so let's get Psalms 118 verse 24. We're going to read this.
Psalms chapter 118 and verse 24.
Mm-hmm.
This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
So, yeah, like the scripture say, man, rejoice and be glad in it, good or bad, happy or sad. This is the day which the Most High had created, man. And just to open your eyes and see another day is a blessing, man, because there are a lot of people that are no longer with us, you know. I was listening to what was it, IUIC's Sabbath evening class this past weekend, man, which was a great, class that the brother Nathaniel put down, man. And I guess he had been sick under the weather or whatever, but he said he hadn't talked in like a month or so. But the class he was putting down, man, was a good one. If y'all go to YouTube, y'all can check it out. But he said that they've lost 20 members of their congregation behind the pandemic, man. Yeah. And they've got a pretty huge congregation, man. But still, you know, 20 people is significant. I know that we've lost at least two brothers to the pandemic. But my point bringing this out, man, is real, man. This stuff is real. But we have to understand that this is all the work of the Most High. It's by His hands. And we have to accept it, whatever we're going through, whether it be a loss of a loved one or whether you yourself have contracted the virus, man. Because I remember when I got it, I ain't going to lie, man, I was freaking out because it was the unknown. And I thought I was going to give up the ghost, you know, because I felt that bad. It's the worst sickness I've ever had. But I did a lot of praying, y'all. I did a lot of praying and kept faith in the Most High, man. Kept my faith in the Most High. And Baruch Atah Yahweh Hashem Yahweh Shai, the Most High brought me through it and healed me and my wife of the virus. And I understood after I came out of it that the purpose of me going through it was, it had nothing to do with me. It really didn't. It had nothing to do with me. And I understand that more now so because I get brothers and sisters calling me up, you know, asking me for the recipe or telling me their symptoms and what's going on with them. And I now understand that the Most High took me through it so I would have the experience to give to other people. That's why I went through what I went through. Matter of fact, let me get this scripture right here, y'all. Just bear with me. There's a lot of stuff we're going to get to. We're going to definitely get to the class. Let me find the scripture I'm looking for. No, it's in Romans. Yeah, here it is. Let's get Romans chapter 5 and verse 4. Matter of fact, start at verse 1. Yeah, you got that out. So Romans chapter 5, verse 1.
Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
So it says that we're justified by our faith, y'all. So a lot of people might say, well, y'all crazy. Well, why are you looking at things that way? Well, the Bible don't say that. Not my Jesus. Because you hear a lot of that crap. But what justifies us is our faith that we have in the Bible, because that's what it's talking about. When you see the word faith, don't get all mystical and stuff, man. When it talks about faith, it's talking about the faith or the unquestionable belief that we have in these scriptures, man. And that's all. That's really that's all we got, especially this day and time, man, because we got so many weapons against us. We got the damn virus, for one, which is man-made. Man created it. Facts. And then we got this damn vaccine, which they created that, and that's just as bad as the damn virus itself. But all we really have is our belief in the scriptures. Read it again for me, Art.
It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
You ain't going to have peace with everybody, with your relatives, with the common folk. But you are going to have that peace of mind with the Most High. But everybody else is going to be looking at you like you a fool. Oh, I mean, people, my coworkers are looking at me crazy. Are you ain't getting the vaccine? Oh, you one of those people. You damn right I'm one of those people. And I've been looking at them like y'all one of those damn cell phones. Because that's what they programming y'all to be, a damn cell phone. You don't believe me? Look it up. I guess I got to have the brother Nagaha come on, man, and break down what the virus actually is. But it alters your DNA. And it tells your body, your immune system, what things to let in it and what things not to accept in it, in your body. What is that but a damn program? Like you would program a cell phone. That's why they got so many people that got the vaccine coming down with the Delta variation of the virus, because the original program for the original coronavirus was not programmed to fight against the Delta. People ain't understanding. They call them breakthrough cases. They know damn breakthrough cases is what y'all plan. And I hear they got different vaccinations about to hit the market. Matter of fact, I was just reading an article this morning talking about the FDA is about to approve the, I forget which company's vaccine for kids. So it's coming, y'all. But back to my point, all we truly have, is this Pfizer? All we truly have is our faith and our belief in the Most High by way of the scriptures. Verse 2.
Yeah, it says Pfizer says COVID-19.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
Pfizer says COVID-19 vaccine safe, effective for kids ages 5 to 11. That came from ABC News.
Y'all hear that? So I ain't exaggerating. Now, we're in Romans chapter 5, we're in verse 2.
It says, by whom also we have access unto this grace.
Oh, my goodness. So we have access to the Most High through what?
By faith unto this grace.
It says through our faith we have access to the Most High. Like the scripture says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. But now we're understanding why. If you don't have faith and belief in the Most High, his word, see, you can't get no access to him. So you praying in vain. You're hoping for things to turn out better in vain. You know, and God forbid, I hope no Israelite is hoping for this pandemic and all this chaos to be over, because we want this. We want this to happen, because if this stuff don't happen, then Yahweh Shah can't come back and get us. I want us to understand that. You know, I was having a conversation with my mother the other day. It was her birthday. And I was asking, you know, what she want. I was going to get her something. She was like, I want for this pandemic to stop. I said, no, you don't. I said, hell, you do. I said, you understand if it stops and things go back to normal, this just means more captivity for us, more oppression for us, more police brutality, more police deaths, more oppression, more setbacks, more stress. More anxiety for our people, more drug addiction, more damn abortions we get.
More viruses.
More viruses, more black-on-black, Hispanic-on-Hispanic crime. It just means all of this drama just going to continue if you're asking for it to stop. Remember, things got to get worse before they get better, y'all. It's just like a sickness. You know, like I've been back and forth with the brother at H-Town who caught the virus. And I was telling them to be patient, because before you start getting better from any sickness, it's got to run its toll. So it's going to get worse. You're going to feel like you about to die. I'm going to be just straight up honest about it, man. You're going to feel like you about to give up the ghost. Been there. But you got to be patient and have faith in the Most High that he's going to bring you through it. So going back to where we was at, in Romans chapter 5, verse 2.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to get to the point now, y'all. I know I'm kind of long-winded, but go ahead.
It says, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
Read on.
And not only so, but we glory in tribulation.
We
also
do what in tribulation?
We glory in tribulation also.
See, this is the part of the Bible people don't want to read. Who the hell is going to be feeling good about going through a tribulation, man? Nobody. Nobody want to go through no tribulation. Nobody want to go through nothing hard, man. This is what we be running from. We be running from the battle, from the hardship, from feeling bad, from going through mental anguish or illnesses or whatever it might be. We run from this. But the scripture says we're supposed to glory in it. And the reason we're glorying in it is because ain't you following Yahushua? Ain't you following Christ? You say you are, right? But what did Christ go through? Did Christ go through tribulation? Yes, he did. You remember he had to rebuke Peter because Christ told Peter, hey, man, look, I'm going to die tomorrow. Peter was like, no, you ain't. But why did Peter say, no, you ain't? Because Peter understood that whatever happened to Christ was going to happen to him because he was following them. This is why Christ had to check him. He said, get behind me, Satan. Peter like, no, we ain't going to die. Yahushua like, yeah, it's going to happen to you. Then he had to go break it down. He's like, man, you're going to denounce me three times before the cock crows. And what did Peter do? He denounced him. No, I ain't with him. I don't know that cat. But we the same way. We're no different, y'all. Now, Peter came back, and he came back strong as hell. And Yahushua knew it. He told him at one point in the gospel, he says, once thou art converted, meaning once you get your mind right, Peter, and you strong enough, you won't come back. I'm going to build the rock of this church is going to be built on you. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. But anyway, if you're running from tribulation, ain't nobody glorying in it, but we should be glorying in it because you don't know what purpose the Most High got you going through it for. Read on, not.
God, it says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience.
Now, this is the part I want to get to. The tribulation, the things you're going through, is going to work. What are you?
Patience.
It's going to work your patience. Remember, the Most High said he's a God of patience. And we were created in his image. So what is he wanting us to be?
Patient.
Patient. It says, and patience, read.
It says, and patience, experience.
Because you being patient and waiting on the Most High builds your experience in dealing with the Most High. This is how your relationship is formed with him. So now that your relationship is formed with him, now you can go and teach other people, hey, be patient. I remember I went through this, and I was getting impatient. I was weathering. But I held tight, and this is what the Most High did for me. Read.
It says, and patience, experience.
And your patience gives you the experience. Now you can go and teach other people. This is what I learned, Doc. This is how the Most High dealt with me. These be what the church be talking about, testimonies, right? But you be having real testimonies. I ain't talking about that church crap. Oh, I had a vision. Somebody told me this on the butt. No, I ain't talking about none of that nonsense. I'm talking about your actual account of how you seen the Most High come through for you.
This is kind of off topic, but I don't know if anybody's ever been to Bexar County Jail. But when you first sit in there, the first time I went, I didn't know that you had to sit in there for 16 hours before they release you.
16 hours up.
I was impatient. I was standing by the door the whole time waiting to get bailed out. So the second time around, I'm just sitting down. I already know the routine. I had already learned that through experience. I already had the patience. I'm seeing young cats come in there waiting by the door. I'm like, hey, bro, go ahead and take a seat. We're going to be in here for a while. You know what I'm saying?
And you know, like, that's just from a worldly perspective for some you went through. You know what I'm saying? But how much more for somebody that's in the truth, that's been through some things? Anyway, like I said, man, matter of fact, keep reading, huh? And the experience is giving you hope. Now, hope is faith. It's belief in the Most High that he's going to come through for you. But read verse 5.
It says, and hope maketh not ashamed.
Your faith in the scriptures, your faith in the Most High, is you shouldn't be ashamed of it. You should be standing tall because that's what brought you through it all, man. Because he'd be like, dang, how you manage? How'd you get through it? Man, the Most High. That's all I can tell you. People be amazed at the things you're able to do or how you've been sustained in your life for so long. And it seemed like, man, you just got it all figured out, but we know that ain't the case. That's not the case at all. But they don't understand that your foundation is the belief in the Most High's word. So it says that your faith should not make you ashamed, read.
Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts with the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
And we know, for us that know what the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit truly is, the tangible part of it anyway, is the Bible. It's the Most High's word, y'all. So we can't forget that. So like I say, man, and all of this from Psalms 118, verse 24, and I know it's kind of long-winded with it, but had to get that. I want to start off with this, man. I'm just touching on it a little bit, but rap artist Nicki Minaj faces backlash after tweeting inaccurate information about COVID vaccine. And this is from CNBC. Y'all, I don't know if y'all heard about this. But matter of fact, let me just read it. It says, Nicki Minaj skipped this year's Met Gala, which enforced a vaccine mandate, saying she was generally avoiding public events because she has a new baby at home. Minaj said a family friend developed swelling testicles and empathy after getting the COVID vaccine shots. Doctors were quick to point out that whatever Nicki's relatives' friends were suffering from weren't known side effects from getting the shots. Man, and this is how we should know that these people, Esau the devil, man, so-called white man is definitely the devil, because this is a damn hip-hop artist. She's not a politician. She's not a foreign diplomat or nothing. She makes music. But why is what she's coming out saying against the vaccine so important to these political figures to where they got to come and smash on her through using the fourth branch of the government, which is the media? Why they got to smash on her? All she is a damn hip-hop artist. So it lets you know that there's something to this vaccine being pushed and people pushing back against it. It says Nicki Minaj faces public backlash after tweeting that a friend of her cousin developed swollen testicles and empathies after getting vaccinated against COVID-19. In a series of tweets Monday, the 10-time Grammy nominee rap artist told fans she would only get immunized once she did enough research and recommended that they wear a mask and get the shots if they're required for work. So she ain't really saying nothing that was harmful. All she really said was, do your research. If you got to get it for your job, get it for your job. It's basically all she said. Minaj skipped Monday's Met Gala, which enforced a vaccine mandate, saying she was generally avoiding public events because she has a new baby at home. What's wrong with that, man? That's like damn common sense.
Yep.
But they smashing on her for that. And then went so far as the president of Trinidad, y'all. This fool got on, I guess, one of their media outlets talking about they investigated her accusations and come to find out they was false. And what he was mostly upset about was the time he wasted investigating it. Nigga, you really investigated some shit that was on Twitter? You ain't got nothing else. You're supposed to be the president of a whole country, and that's all you got on your agenda? Is to investigate something that you heard off Twitter, man? Come on, and which is more reason to let us know that there's more to this damn vaccine than meets the eye, man.
Yep.
Why are they going ham like this over what a damn rap artist said on some damn tweets, man? All right, now let's get to this right here. Well, I want to go first. Here we go. And I've been talking about this for a minute, y'all, but this pissed me off a little bit. I ain't gonna even front. So this is from what media outlet is this? USA Today. 600 more Homeland Security agents sent to Del Rio, Texas, amid Haitian migrant crisis. What we know. So, here it is. An additional 600 Homeland Security personnel have been sent to the border in Del Rio, Texas, as thousands of refugee camps under a bridge are being taken back to Haiti. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro N. Mayorkas said Monday, more than 14,500 migrants, the vast majority of whom are Haitian, according to the Del Rio officials, are facing high temperatures and poor conditions at a camp under a bridge. Haitians have been crossing into the isolated city for weeks, but the number of migrants reached new levels in recent days. In response to the rapid arrival, the United States closed the Mexican border Sunday to Del Rio, a city of about 35,000 people located roughly 145 miles west of San Antonio. Mexican authorities tightened immigration controls, cut off the entire points to, what is this, Ciudad Acuña?
What is it? Ciudad Acuña, yeah. It's a town right across the border from Del Rio, I think.
Del Rio. To stop more migrants from reaching the border and announced it would also begin deporting Haitians. About 3,500 migrants from the camp have already been relocated, and 3,000 more were expected to be relocated to another processing facility Monday. At least three deportation flights with 145 passengers each arriving Sunday in Port-au-Prince, Haiti's capital. And Haiti said six flights were expected Tuesday, which is today. So they deported all these Haitians. Now, the reason I'm pissed off about this, or this, the reason that it kind of rubs me the wrong way, is let me get this right here. So this is from Rutgers. Explainer. Who are the Afghanis refugees coming to the U.S. and what happens when they arrive? Afghanistan, right? Been all over the news. Thousands of Afghanistans have arrived in the United States since the hurried evacuation of Afghanistan began in mid-August, including many who helped U.S. forces during its 20-year involvement in the country's war. So it said thousands of Afghanistanis or Afghans have come to the U.S. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
But they ain't sending none of them back to Afghanistan.
Nah.
It says, why is the U.S. military evacuating Afghanis? President Joe Biden said the United States aimed to evacuate 50,000 to 65,000 Afghan allies before an August 31st deadline for the U.S. withdrawal. Biden's estimated appeal to refer to Afghanis who have applied for a humanitarian visa known as a special immigration visa and their family members. Special immigration visas mean they just made this up to get these Afghans to come to the country. Come to the United States, the land of the free, home of the damned slave, land of the thief, home of the slave. You say it more correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But this just proves how damn racist America really is, man. And it also goes with what we've been saying for years, man, how they hate Israelites because they know we're God's chosen people. Now, this is something you probably didn't know about our Haitian brothers. And I just pulled it offline off the internet. But trip off of this. So it says Haitian Mexicans. That's the title, right? This is off of Wikipedia. There is a small Haitian diaspora in Mexico. According to the 2017 report,
there are approximately 5,000 Haitian-born people living in Mexico. Now, this is a report from 2017. Now, trip off of this. An amount of Haitians moved to Mexico during the presidency of Francisco Zavala in the 1970s and relocated to Mexico City and other cities. So our Haitian brothers have been in Mexico since the 70s.
Damn.
I didn't know this, man. And what got me interested and wanted to dig more into this, because what the media not widely reporting is there's not just Haitians on the border that was in these camps. There were also brothers from Cuba, brothers from Brazil, from Venezuela, from everywhere.
Yeah.
And I got to scratching my head. I'm like, wow. Because I heard I'm like Haitians in Mexico. It just
weird.
Didn't sound right. It sounded weird.
I'm
like, that don't sound right. And I'm like, the Most High is gathering his people. He's gathering his people. I got some scriptures I'm finna get to. Let me read a little bit more of this. It says, after the 2010 Haitian earthquake, 324 Haitians relocated to Mexico via a Mexican naval ship from January 12th to late April 2010. According to the National Migration Institute, each Haitian would be granted a humanitarian visa, allowing them to work and study in Mexico, use public services, and travel to and from the country. The Haitians settled primarily in Mexico City, Pachuca,
and Monterrey.
And Monterrey.
Where I'm from.
Your mom from Monterrey?
Yeah.
Nice. Most of the Haitians who moved after the earthquake had relatives who were already living in Mexico from the 70s.
Yeah.
It's bad, huh?
God.
Most High is bad. Let's get Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 10. And this, man, this is how you know we God's people, man.
I don't
get that. Let me see. All right. Got a caller. Somebody. I don't think this is a question. Maybe they do got a question. 9984. Area code 210. If you do have a question, you can hit me up at 314-482-9110. You can text me the question. 314-482-9110. If you have a question. I just seen the word question on the icon pop up. I ain't sure. So let's get Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 10.
Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations.
So he said, all the nations listen up. Read.
And declare it in the isles afar off.
Mm-hmm.
And say, he that scattered Israel.
He that what?
He that scattered Israel.
And who scattered Israel?
Most High.
The Most High did. You read that in Deuteronomy 28, verse 64, and countless other verses. Read.
Mm-hmm. We'll gather him, keep him.
He going to do what?
We'll gather them. Gather him.
So what's happening down at the borders? in Del Rio, Texas?
I was in, a couple of weeks ago, I was actually in, what's that small town? I was in Cotulla, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and I was helping a customer sign up for solar. I was in the middle of a sale, and you hear sirens go off throughout the whole city. They had locked down the whole city because 33 so-called immigrants broke out and were scattered everywhere. So I'm in the homeowner's house, and the guy's like, hey, man, you know, want some water, just hang out for a little bit. I'm like, dang, like, I got to get back to San Antonio.
Huh.
And so I finally was able to get out. When I finally got out of the town, I mean, there was DPS, Highway Patrolman everywhere. They're stopping every single car, asking questions. And so I tell them, like, I'm from San Antonio. I was here to help a customer with solar. But when I later on got home and I read the article,
they weren't even Mexican. A lot of them were from El Salvador and Guatemala. You know what I'm saying? So these weren't even so-called Mexicans. They had walked all the way up to Mexico to get to the border to get to the States.
Man, and that just, let's get Luke. Hold that. Get Luke chapter 1. I think it's like verse 71. Or it starts at 67, I think.
Okay.
Let's see. What's it say?
68.
Okay.
Luke chapter 1 and verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.
The Lord God of who?
Of Israel.
This is in the New Testament, y'all. For you New Testament only folks. And hell, if you didn't read the Old Testament, you don't even know what we're talking about when he says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. And notice it didn't mention any religion, right? This is talking about a nationality. And we know through historical research and biblical scriptures, countless ones, that the Hebrew Israelites are the so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, people of Indian Negro descent that are scattered throughout the four corners of the globe. These are truly the Israelites, y'all. Read it again, huh?
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and had raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David.
So he's visited and redeemed. Redeemed means to save or to purchase. Read on.
As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets.
Because that's when you read the Bible, that's the narrative of the Bible. The Israelites were given laws, statutes, and commandments, which we didn't follow, and the Most High would put us into captivity in whatever nation it was. Going all the way back to what? The book of Judges, you can read about the captivities under the Canaanites. Then you read on a little bit further. By the time you get to Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezra, Ezekiel, we were in countless captivities. From the Babylonian captivity, the Assyrian captivity, the Babylonian captivity, the Persian Mede captivity, then the Greeks, and then finally the Roman captivity, and then we're in the latter end of the Greco-Roman Empire now, which is America, that captivity. So the Most High is saying here in Luke that he's visited and redeemed his people. Countless times he sent the Savior to redeem us and get us out of captivity. This is, like I said, this is the narrative of the complete Bible, the whole Bible. Read.
It says, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began.
And you go back and you read on these prophets, and countless prophets are telling us, you're going into captivity, but if you repent, the Most High will see you saved. That's all throughout the Bible. Read.
That we should be saved from our enemies.
But what is salvation truly? Because people go to church all the time talking about I'm saved. I'm saved in the Lord. How you saved when you still got to pay for water? When you still got to pay a car note? When you still got to pay a mortgage? When you still got to get up and go to work? And we use terms like to describe our jobs as the gig or the slave. Because what are we doing? We're going to work. You slaving for somebody else who hold your money for 2 weeks or a week and then take money out of it and allocate it somewhere else. What is that but slavery, man? Then, like I said, you paying for water? Well, back in the day, we used to just dig a well. We have all the water we wanted to. Try that now and see if stars don't show up at your front door talking about, hey, you still not water. Or whatever city you in, water company don't show up. This is truly captivity, y'all. I guess I ain't thought about it. But this is what salvation is. You being saved from all of that. People in the church talking about salvation and like it's something mystical. I don't know what their version of salvation is, but the Bible's telling us, read it again, this is what salvation is.
It says, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world begun, that we should be saved from our enemies.
Saved from who?
From our enemies.
Who's your damn enemy? Maybe the people that told you couldn't live in their fancy little gated community. maybe the people right now that are, what do they call it, critical racial theory, I think it's called. They're taking that out of the school books, out of the textbooks. Y'all don't believe me? Look it up. Critical race theory. What they call critical race theory is actually just the true history of this nation and how it was established. So things like slavery, lynchings, the conquest of America, because a lot of Israelite brothers and Native American brothers got lynched too, y'all. Jim Crow, redlining, what else?
Segregation.
They're taking all of that out of the school, but they're arguing about it right now.
You know, I don't know if this even goes with what we're talking about, but it, in a sense, it kind of does. I was reading this book that I had bought. It was called it's called When the Ball Was Only White, and it was talking about in the 1910s to the 20s to the 30s and the 40s when the Negro Leagues were real big in America. And it was talking about segregation, right, about how we were segregated black and white. Latinos were considered black at the time. And one thing that I read in the book, and I can show the article on the pages later, but it was talking about a time when the Negro Leagues were so big that they were making about $5 to $8 million a year. Now, this is in the 40s.
Wow.
Now, check it out. In the book, and let me see if I could pull this page real quick. Give me 1 second. I could find it.
Okay.
This is really interesting when we're talking about what we're talking about right now. But let me see. I got it right here. I got to find it. Give me 1 second.
See, y'all, this is why I'm about the brother, too, man. And this is why he's named what he's named, House of Books, man.
This
brother be in the books.
This is the book. It's called Only the Ball Was White. It's called A History of Legendary Black Players and All Black Professional Teams. It's by Robert Peterson.
Nice.
Now, check this out. Not only was the Negro Leagues making more money than the actual MLB or the White League, right? But check this out. This is from, I don't know the page. I can get it later. Right? It says, overshadowing the World Series, and in fact, every other Negro sport event was the East-West game, which brought together the greatest stars in Negro baseball. It was a production worthy of the major leagues and never attached less than 20,000 fans. In 1943, the East-West game drew 51,723, the biggest crowd to ever attend a Negro sports event up to that time.
Wow.
The Negro Leagues were making more money. They were being more successful
than Major League Baseball.
There is segregation. This is why they wanted to have integration. And this is why they bombed Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
This is money that they couldn't get. They saw us being more successful than the white man, so they wanted to integrate. And this is why it says that Esau is a cunning hunter.
Oh, no doubt.
He's a cunning man. He couldn't get our money, so this is the way that they do it. They integrate us with these people.
No different than what they're doing now. It's interesting you bring Major League Baseball up. And Michelle was sending a shout out. He said it's good to hear us teaching again. The water. I was thinking about this the other day, man. But years back, man, I want to say maybe 10 years back, a bunch of professional retired baseball players and some that were still active, they had a campaign to bring baseball diamonds back to the hood because Esau had been removing baseball diamonds. And the reason they were removing baseball diamonds is because they didn't want black people playing baseball. And you look at the league now, how many brothers do you see playing ball? And when I say brothers, I'm not talking about our Hispanic brothers.
Okay.
I'm talking about what we would deem the American Negro or just the regular old blacks here in America.
Yeah.
It's not many.
It's not a lot, yeah.
It's not a lot. So they succeeded with their plan. Then I have to think about it. I'm like, why would they do that? I mean, I know they're evil and wicked as hell, but I'm just, you know, running it through my mind. And I look at baseball, man, and you see players – Albert Pujols was playing a game. And I'm like, damn, he's still playing? I'm like, he's got to be in his 40s.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I had to think about it. But baseball is the damn near the only sport you can play till you well into your 40s, man.
Yeah.
And you can still be generating what?
Money.
Yep. Money. You can still generate wealth playing.
Yeah.
You got to think about it because you can't do that in football. You can't do it in basketball. I don't know what LeBron is on, but he on something. That dude is like a freak of nature, man, to be that old and still playing at the high level that he playing at.
He's taking that, what do you call it? The, what is that stuff called that they take from the kids? I can't think of it right now.
Oh, he drinking blood or something. I don't know.
That's what it is. It's called, I can't think of it right now.
Adrenaline. Because you know it's an adrenaline in blood.
Yeah, it's called, I got to find it. It's called something that they take from the kids.
But my point is, man, baseball is the only sport you can play.
Adrenochrome.
Con. Oh, Michelle hit it up right on the head like the water.
There's a movie with Johnny Depp where he takes adrenochrome, and they get adrenochrome from the children. Yeah. You probably text the name of the movie.
Yeah, Adrenochrome. But I had to think about it, man. You play baseball for a long time, man.
God.
And you look at baseball, you ain't really doing much. You hitting the ball and running. And then if you can't run, they get you what they call it, a relief runner or something, I guess, that'll run the bases for you. You know?
That's funny.
But read that again in Luke.
Luke chapter 1 and verse 71. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us.
And that's my point, y'all. We're hated by all nations, man. All the nations hate us, man, but especially the so-called white man, y'all. And you can look at it, man. You let all these damn Afghanis come in, they can get permanent residence. Y'all create special visas for them to live here, but let the Haitians show up, man. Send the niggas back. Send the niggas back. No, we can't have them niggas. Because y'all remember back in the 90s. And I ain't trying to be racist or nothing, man, or partial, but the truth is the truth, man. They will let our Hispanic brothers in, some of them. But I'm bringing it out to say, y'all remember back in the 90s, what was the little boy name that came from, I think he came from Cuba?
On the boat?
On that boat. What was his damn name?
Oh, man.
Alejandro, I think. What was this boy name? I forgot his name.
I remember that. That was like 95.
Yeah, but during the same time, they were sending Haitians back on raps. They would let, like I said, they would let our Latino brothers, our Hispanic brothers come, man. But this country been hating us. But now they won't even let them come. That's why they stuck down at the border, man. Because they understand their population is dwindling. Hell, why do you think they just outlawed abortion in Texas, man? They see that their numbers are dwindling. I covered this, what, last week I was talking about. Shabba brought out the information for me. But they know, well, I think, what was the date you gave, Michelle, about 2024? Or 20-something, you said that the white population was going to be the minority? But that's why they're making abortion illegal. They understand the numbers are dwindling.
I think it's Michelle.
2046. Yeah, they were going to be the minorities. But read that again in Luke.
It says that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us.
We're going to be saved from our enemies because these people are definitely not our friends. They're our enemies, man. These were the same people that told us if you work hard in America, you'll get rich. They says the land of the free where all your dreams can come true. That's a damn lie. Because I dream about all of them being in our position and all of us being in their position. And I've been dreaming that for a minute. That dream ain't came true yet. But I thought all your damn dreams could come true here in America.
Hmm.
The reality is, Yahweh Shai with the angels is coming to make the dream that I've been dreaming come true. Make it a reality. Like what Jagged Edge say, make this thing a reality.
Christ said he's going to come in a flaming fire with a sword.
No doubt. Let's get Ezekiel 11 and 17. Yeah, brothers, that song, Walk Out of Heaven. That's the name of Jagged Edge.
You know they're Hebrews now.
Yeah, I know. One of the twins is. I don't know about the other one. Yeah, he be hanging tough with Sakari.
Ezekiel 11 and 17, right? Okay. Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 17. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of...
He coming to get us, y'all. So that church song we were singing back in the day, soon and very soon, we are going to see the king. No, the king's coming to see us. He coming to get us, but the Most High is using his divine power to gather us together now, to put all us together in one place, man. Get Jeremiah 31 and 8. Just to prove this, man, because you got some brothers that think we got to relocate and go somewhere else. We got to go nowhere. Our transportation is coming, man.
It's the flee Babylon doctrine.
Yeah.
Jeremiah 31 and what?
31 and 8.
Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 8. Behold, I will bring them from the north country.
From where?
From the north country.
Talking about the Americas, y'all. Read.
And gather them from the coast of the earth.
And from all the coasts, all the islands we scattered at. You know what's interesting? I've always thought this interesting, but when you look at the map or the globe, and you look at the Caribbean, y'all, all of us is right there in the Caribbean. You got Cuba, that's just 90 miles away from Florida. Then you go down a little bit. You got what's called the Caribbean or the Caribbean, and you got all the islands of Jamaica. You got Puerto Rico there, Dominican Republic, Haiti's right there, the island of Dominica, because there's an island called Dominica. I don't know if y'all knew that. Ran to a brother years ago that schooled me on that. Then you got Central America that's right there, man. It's like a hook. But all those islands are right there. In the Gulf or in the Caribbean, which lead to the Americas, man.
I never knew Trinidad was so close to South America. It's like right there.
It's right there, huh?
Yeah.
Then you got Belize that's sitting on the top of South America next to the Caribbean, where the official language there is English in Belize.
Yeah.
But all of it's right there, man. The Most High, the way he orchestrated everything is just beautiful, man. You can see it. And because I know that doctrine, the flee Babylon doctrine, I ain't saying them brothers is wrong with what they're doing. If they want to do that, cool, but you don't have to do that. The Most High is coming to get us. That was Jeremiah 31 and 8.
Yeah, it says, from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame.
Well,
it says the blind and the lame.
The blind and the lame, y'all. All the sickly of our people. Because, and that's why I wanted to read, I'm glad I had you read more, because what if you can't make a trip to go where these brothers say you're supposed to go? Maybe you're too sick. Or maybe you just can't afford a damn passport or afford to leave. And then now, they coming with their vaccine passport. You just can't get out of the country. Then what? So that just shoots a hole in their doctrine altogether, right?
And in reality, you can't really escape, you know, the oppression anywhere that you go.
It's Deuteronomy 28.
Come
on. Matter of fact, get it. Right? Deuteronomy 28 and verse 45. We're going to get this, y'all. Then we're going to move on to our class. I didn't have a title. I like what you put in there, Shabba. to bring back some memories, some good old memories.
Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee.
So he's reading all the curses. When he say all the curses, he's talking about from verse 15 of this chapter all the way to verse 68.
Mm-hmm.
He said that all these curses are going to do what?
Shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee.
What does pursue mean? It means chase. Like, y'all remember watching, I know I used to watch it, Deuce of Hazzard back in the day. Pete Coltrane, I'm in hot pursuit.
Before my time out.
Well, you say he in hot pursuit, what does he mean? Before your time out, my bad. I'm telling my age.
From the 80s.
It was a show called Deuce of Hazzard, man. Roscoe P. Coltrane was one of the little goofy deputies. Show was racist as hell, too. They had the damn General Lee. It was sometimes one of the muscle cars had a damn Confederate flag on the top of it. I never tripped off of it when I was a kid. I was just watching it for entertainment purposes. But he used to say he was in hot pursuit, man, which means he was chasing. He was chasing the Duke boy, Bo and Luke Duke. He was chasing. But the Most High said, read this again.
It said, moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee.
Pursue means to chase. The curses that the Most High put on his people for breaking his law, statutes, and commandments, he said, we're going to chase us. I mean, they're going to follow us wherever we went. So if you leave the country, guess what you're still going to be faced with? The curses.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, ask the brothers in Puerto Rico. Ask the brothers in Haiti. Ask the brothers down in Brazil or Venezuela or any parts of Central or South America. Ask them what they're going through, because it also says in this same chapter, cursed shall thou be in the city. Cursed shall thou be in the field. And according to Matthew, was it 13:38? Go ahead. The field is the world. I mean, no matter where we went in the earth, we were going to have these conditions. You were going to be living in the slums and ghettos. You were going to be oppressed. You were going to be mad. Our people were going to be hooked on drugs. There was going to be domestic violence going on. There was going to be dads that left their kids. And you look amongst our people, so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, whether you're on a reservation, whether you're in a third world country, or whether you're here in the U.S. of A., that's our condition, man. No ins, buts about it. That's what we're going through. You can't get away from that. So, well, the brothers that are teaching people that they got to leave America and all this other crap, y'all wasting y'all time if y'all doing that, and y'all money and all y'all energy. Y'all should just stay put where you at, man, and get with some brothers that are in your city and y'all fellowship and worship and serve the Most High together, look out for each other, and love each other. Point blank period, man. So we're about to transition over to the class. And the actual title of the class is the title we had last week, The Bible, the Book of Jasher, the Book of Enoch, Fact or Fiction. All right, Fact or Fiction. So we're going to examine this morning the Book of Enoch and the Book of Jasher, because a lot of brothers and sisters are subscribing to that book now. I, for one, have never subscribed to it. My elders told me early on that those books were garbage, that they weren't factual, and they contradict the Bible. So I stayed away from them, man. I didn't even purchase them and look through them. I just took my elders' word. But here, the last couple of years, I had the pleasure of skimming through some of these books and actually seeing for myself that they are, in fact, false. So we're going to get into these books and let you be the judge of it, man. Because the Bible says this. This gets 1 Thessalonians 5:21. To read or not to read? That's what I should have titled it, right? And what be getting me about this too, man, is you have brothers advocating for these books who ain't even read the Bible, who don't know the Bible or the Apocrypha for that matter, but really swear that, man, this book is a part of the Bible. How could you possibly know, brother, if you never really studied the Bible? Because honestly, the Most High left us enough with just the Bible by itself.
Can't break down a baptism class or John 3:16, but
thank you, Con. Say it again,
Can't break down baptism, John 3:16, or any revelation breakdown.
And we call those classes basic classes. You can't even break down and bring out the color that's in the Bible. Hell, you can't even give people to understand the Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, that lets you know who we are as a people. You can't break that down, but you're talking about some damn other books, man? That's why the Bible says this. Read this out.
It says 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Prove all things.
What does the Bible say?
Prove all things.
Prove all things. Truth is something you can prove. If you're going to say it's the truth, it's the part of the Bible, prove it. Prove it then, huh? Mm-hmm. Prove it. Read.
It says, hold fast that which is good.
Hold fast the things that have already been proven to you, because you know, oh, that's good. Those are facts. That's real. I can prove that. And how do we prove things? Let's get Psalms 119, verse 104. Basics. Through the basics. Basic scriptures, y'all.
Psalms chapter 119 and verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding.
Through what?
Thy precepts I get understanding.
Precept is a scripture. It's God's word. Through the precepts, plural. Not single, not one scripture, but many, multiple. But through all these precepts, I get understanding. And then Isaiah tells you line upon line, here a little, there a little. Which means what? The whole Bible, not just the New Testament, not just the Old. But you got to use the whole thing. You have something you want to add out?
No.
So read it again.
It says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way.
And how do you know a way is false unless you put the precepts of the Bible together to establish that, hey, man, this ain't factual. Or this is contradicting this. Well, the scriptures say this, but this book say that. No. Jump down to verse 128.
Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right.
What did David say? Esteem all the precepts, not some of them. Read.
Concerning all things to be right.
Concerning all things to be right. All things that are written in the Bible. He understood that this was the right way to live. He understood that this was the right way to do things. Through what? Through the precepts. He understood what? Our nation's history, our nation's heritage, the whole nine, man.
Mm-hmm. It says, all things to be right, and I hate every false way.
And this is how you establish what's factual and what's false. Give me Nehemiah 8 and 8. Somebody tell you something, man, about the scriptures, they got to prove it. The burden of proof is on them, not you, man, because I've seen that also. I've seen something presented to a brother or a sister, and a brother or sister, they do all the work to try to prove their point when your point is not even in question. It's the person that brought the mess to you in the first place. Let them prove what they say is true and factual. Let them do the work. Then after they done bumping off at the mouth, because most of the time they don't have no proof. They just have their opinion.
So when they done running off at the mouth, then you can come with your facts. But let them do all the work. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8. So they read in the book and the law of God distinctly. So, and English is such a bastard language. So that word could be interpreted as read or it could be read. So it says that they read in the book of the Lord how? Distinctly, meaning very carefully. You can't just read through the Bible like it's a novel. You're going to miss some stuff. You can't just, and I know they got these little apps with the daily reading, and I ain't knocking the daily reading. Daily reading is fine, man. If you get a chapter in a day, two chapters in a day, great. Keeps you in the Word. Or if you want to hit the audio up, that's cool. But you got to sit down and study every now and again, because when you're studying, then you're reading things carefully. I hope you are anyway. It says, read in the book of the law how? Distinctly. Read. And gave the sense. If you ain't sitting down actually studying, taking it slow, getting the correct meaning of things with your dictionary, your East Ward Bible Dictionary, and other references, then how can you possibly give the sense to somebody else? You can't. You can't just be giving your opinion or you saying something that may be true, but you're not proving it, because the Bible does say prove all things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
It says, and cause them to understand the reading.
And cause somebody to understand what they're reading, man. You have to be studied. You have to be astute. You can't be a novice. 1 Corinthians 14:33. And hold fast what you can prove, man. If you can't prove something, don't even respond on it. Go back and study on it. Then come back later to that person and say, hey, look, I remember what you said, but I want to show you this.
1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion.
The Most High did not authorize confusion. So you say that this book is a part of the Bible that was took out, then you should be able to prove that it actually belongs in the Bible. Because if it ain't got nothing to do with the Bible, it doesn't reference the Bible, or it doesn't correlate with the Bible, then there's a bunch of confusion. So, yep. But it says here that the Most High is not the author of confusion, read.
But of peace, as in all churches of the saints.
Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14.
Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned.
What does it say?
But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned.
The things that you learn, you know to be factual. Continue in those things. Read.
And has been assured of.
What does it say?
And has been assured of.
How are you being assured of something? Because you went and studied it for yourself. You proved it for yourself. Mm-hmm. So if you just go into class taking notes and you never go back to go over your notes, or you hearing people online break stuff down and you never go back and study it for yourself, man, shame on you.
Mm-hmm.
This is how the wool gets pulled over your eyes. This is how you end up following some false doctrine and being around some people that, like Paul said, false brethren. Because you ain't proved it for yourself. You don't know the Bible. So now somebody can tell you anything, you just believe it. Then you find out years later that, man, this was not biblical. Now you all grumble and bitter and upset. But it's your fault because you didn't study. You didn't, like the scripture says, make these things assured.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
It says, knowing of whom thou hast learned them.
You better know who you learned them from. Did you learn it because this man had an agenda and he wanted you to do something for him? That's how you learned it? That's why he gave it to you?
So that's why I guess for so long me and Utah's apart kind of gotten along, because I remember you teaching some very detailed classes and other brothers too, and I never took y'all's word for it. I always did my own research. Not saying that y'all were wrong, but if this is what I'm going to follow, and for so long we always taught that Christianity was a lie because of what they taught was off, and that their followers never did the research for themselves, or Catholicism was wrong because they never did, you know, the research for themselves. If we're in the truth and we say we're Hebrews and we don't do our study for ourselves, what makes us so different from them?
No doubt that.
You know what I'm saying?
No doubt that. And I won't take any credit for any of those classes, man, because the Most High says one man water, another man plant, but the Most High gives the increase up.
Kind of. I can even go back to one of the first times I actually went to class when Meshavo was, you know, cursing in class, that at the end of the class, I had never heard this before. So I'm seeing this 6'5" brother with dreads, and I'm this dude cussing and reading the Bible. I had to go to him at the end of class and be like, hey, are we allowed to cuss? Like, you're doing it. I remember quietly asking him that, and he pulled scripture that kind of proved it, and I was like, okay, it makes sense. But, you know, even stuff like that, you know, but, you know, it's neither here nor there, but it was funny.
God, hey, but that's what the scriptures, it says, it is in the gospels, it says, seek and ye shall find.
Kind of.
If you search for the truth, then you'll find the Most High will give it to you. It tells you in James, the Most High gives to all men liberally, which means freely. If you're searching for it, man, you'll find it. The Most High will give it to you.
Kind of.
Now go back to what we was reading, Timothy.
Timothy or Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. 2 Timothy.
We're going to read the verse 15.
Chapter 3 and verse, where were we at?
14. Almost.
14. Kind of, I'll read 14 again. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast not been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them.
What?
Knowing of whom thou hast learned them.
Did you learn them from the teachers of Yahushua, from the Bible? Or did you just get all your teaching from a man and you never validated any of it, you never verified any of it, you just rolled with the punches?
It just makes sense. So
Yeah, it made sense to me. I just roll with it. You know, and I'm saying this because I've experienced, man, I've talked to brothers. And they're bitter because they didn't go back and study for themselves. They took a man's word for it. And they held these grudges, and they still holding them to this day. But it's not, I repeat, it's not that brother's fault that was teaching you. It's your fault. Remember, the scripture says that we all are responsible for our own soul and salvation. The scripture says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. It says he is near unto them that search for him. The other scriptures, basic scriptures, 2 Timothy, it says study to show thyself approved, right?
Mm-hmm.
A workman rightly dividing the word of truth. Workman, key word, workman. It takes work to what? To find out this truth, man. As much work you put on binge watching on Netflix, Hulu, or any other stream that you might be on, why don't you put that time into actually studying for yourself? Instead of letting somebody else do all the heavy lifting for you, and you don't know what you're going to get, because they might be giving you something based off of what they have need of you for. Like the scriptures tell you in Ecclesiastes. But anyway, so let's get to it. Let's go to 2 Ezra chapter 14. We're going to start at verse 38.
It should be, there it is, right there.
Hold on for a second, y'all. Give me just a second. I'll be right back. Yeah. All right, y'all, I'm back. And I want to say this, too, man. I had to think about this. Hey, but if you made mistakes, man, and I know you have because I've made mistakes, don't self-condemn yourself, man. Just correct the mistakes that you made from, like I said, man, if you studied and you was doing something wrong and then you studied some more, somebody brought to your attention that you found out, hey, man, I was doing this wrong the whole time. Don't self-condemn yourself. Don't do that. Just don't do it no more and be better, man. You know, just no different than Christ told the lady who was brought to him in adultery in the very act. He told her sins was forgiven. He told her not to sin no more.
Time. The scriptures say a just man shall fall 7 times. And it also says that at a time of ignorance that the Most High winked at it.
No doubt, man. So just want to put that out there, man. I don't want people thinking that, oh, what time's the pot? He studied, man. He ain't make no mistakes. I made plenty of them. Trust me.
Same here, brother.
Where was we at?
Lifetime of mistakes.
Con. Second Ezra, right?
Con.
14 and 38.
Second Ezra, chapter 14 and verse 38. It says, and the next day, behold, a voice called me, saying, Ezra, open thy mouth and drink, that I give thee to drink. Then opened I my mouth, and behold,
we're going to read the verse 48.
Okay. And behold, he reached me a full cup, which was full as it were by water. But the color of it was like fire. And I took it and drank. And when I had drunk of it, my heart uttered understanding, and wisdom grew in my breast. For my spirit strengthened my memory, and my mouth was open and shut no more. The highest gave understanding unto five. The highest gave understanding unto the five men, and they were the wonderful visions of the night that were told, which they knew not.
Now listen to this. Read.
And they sat 40 days, and they wrote in the day, and at night they ate bread.
So these men were given visions, and they was writing these visions down. And it said that they did what?
They wrote in the day, and in the night they ate bread.
So they wrote all day, and at night they ate. Read.
As for me, I spake in the day, and I held not my tongue by night.
So he said that he kept writing down. He kept writing these things down. Read.
In 40 days. They wrote 204 books.
So in 40 days, these men were assembled, and they wrote 204 books in all. Read.
And it came to pass when the 40 days were fulfilled, that the highest, the first that thou hast written, published openly.
So he said, told them, hey, the first books y'all wrote, publish them. Let everybody know. Get the information out. Read.
That the worthy and the unworthy may read it.
Mm-hmm. And he says the worthy and the unworthy. This is why you have other nations who have our book now, and they're reading it because it was published openly. And remember, the Bible's been translated in many different languages. So this prophecy holds true. It says to the worthy and the unworthy, the other nations, and to us Israelites that are not even worthy to get this book.
Keep the 70 last.
Keep what?
The 70 last.
And how many books do we know that are in the Bible? 70 books.
Mm-hmm.
What verse you in?
46.
Can you read?
Thou mayest deliver them only to such as be wise among the people.
Read.
For in them is the spring of understanding, the fountain of wisdom, and the stream of knowledge.
The stream of knowledge. This is where the brothers got the name from for the stream of knowledge on Mashallah. That was out there at Albuquerque. So, and that was verse 48?
Kind of. All
right, so the reason I pulled this book, scripture here, is to show that originally, if y'all keeping up with the math and what he was saying, there was 204 books that were written by these scribes. 204 that was written, Then he said 70 at the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we know that the Bible has 66 books in it, right?
Yep.
And the Apocrypha has 14 books in it in all, which would give us, what, 80 books?
Okay.
All right. Now, obviously, we don't have all of the books of the Bible, all right? So I want to just put that out there. I want to make that clear. We don't have all the books of the Bible, okay? We don't have all the sayings of the Most High. But this is even what the Most High told Moses. Let's get 2 Esdras chapter 14 and start at verse 1. So we don't know everything. And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 2 and get that. Well, let's get Ezra first. 2 Ezra chapter 14, verse 1.
2 Ezra chapter 14 and verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass upon the third day I sat under an oak, and behold, there came a voice out of a bush against me,
mm-hmm.
and said, Ezra, Ezra. And I said, here I am, Lord. And
so all of this we're reading, this is Ezra's account of when he was talking to these angels that was giving him instructions to do certain things, to write books and et cetera. Go on.
And I stood up upon my feet. Then said he unto me, in the bush I did manifestly reveal myself unto Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And talked with him when my people served in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent him and led my people out of Egypt and brought him up to the Mount of Sinai.
Right. And you read about this in Exodus, I believe it's the 19th or the 20th chapter, when Moses went up. And he said what?
Where I held him by me a long season.
He stayed a long season because, remember, Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights.
Okay.
And actually it was longer than that because when he came off the mount and he seen that Aaron had made the golden calf and we was acting a damn fool, he broke the tablets and he went back up and he fasted, I believe, another 40 days and 40 nights so the Most High wouldn't kill us. Because Most High was ready to murk every last one of us, and he was going to start over with Moses' lineage. But Moses begged him. Read.
It says, and I sent him and led my people out of Egypt and brought him up to the Mount of Sinai, where I held him by me a long season,
mm-hmm.
and told him many wondrous things and showed him the secrets of the times.
So he showed him wonderful things. He showed him all the secrets of the times, read.
And the end.
He showed Moses the end of the world. So Moses was prophesying. That's why Moses was able to prophesy about Christ, about Yahweh Shai, in the books that he wrote, read.
And commanded him, saying, these words shall thou declare, and these shall not, these thou shalt hide.
So, matter of fact, let me back up a little bit. Because most scholars will attribute the first five books to Moses, saying that Moses wrote them. Then you ask yourself, well, how was Moses able to give an account on Genesis, on the garden, or Abraham? Or how was he able to give an account on the flood? Well, the Most High just told us right here, he gave Moses all of it. And he said the secrets. So the books that we got, like Genesis, and you read Genesis, man, there's so much information in it. It's not as easy to read as you think it is because of the symbolism, the allegory, and just certain things that the Most High gave gave Moses that we didn't get. It's like we've got cleft notes from what actually happened from creation to the flood and other events that happened, but the Most High say he gave Moses all of it. So Moses didn't have to go back and research and try to break down Genesis, the first chapter and the second chapter. The Most High just, he gave it to him plainly. And he tells us in Numbers, what is the 12th chapter, that any prophet that he has, who speak to him a dream and a vision. He says, but Moses is not so. He said, with him, I will speak to him face to face. He said, and not in dark speeches. He said, I speak to him clearly. So Moses clearly got what we refer to as breakdowns. He got all of the Most High gave it to him. He had to go back and research and study and break stuff down. The Most High just gave it to him. Read that part again. All right?
It says, and told him many wondrous things and showed him the secrets of the times and the end and commanded him, saying, the word shalt thou declare.
These you shall declare, meaning give this to people, no different than he told Ezra. Now, in Ezra's, in the chapter 14, talked about 204 books. But these ain't including the books that Moses had. So there were many books. All of them weren't published, though. Read on.
It says, and these shalt thou hide.
And he said, these you shall hide. Mean all the books weren't going to be available. Was that the end of it?
Okay.
Now let's go to Psalms chapter 6. Matter of fact, before we go to Psalms, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I think it's the last verse. First Corinthians 13. It says, we know in part.
Verse 12.
Verse 12. Is that the last verse?
Second to last.
Okay, read that. Tell
first,
me that.
1 Corinthians 13 and 12. For now we see through a glass, darkly.
Meaning darkly, mean you look through a glass, if the glass is kind of fuzzy, if you throw a little oil or a little dirt in it, you can see through the glass somewhat, but it's not a clear vision through the glass. No different than the Bible is to us. We see some things clearly, other things we don't see so clearly. Read.
It says, but then, face to face, now I know in part.
But he says, but then, face to face, when Yahweh Shai comes, we're going to have the opportunity to sit down and ask him, hey, Yahweh Shai, who else were you in the scriptures as far as regeneration goes? Were you Adam? We know you were Adam. Okay, we know you were Solomon. Who else were you? And reincarnate. Okay, we know John the Baptist was also, what did he say he was? He was Elijah.
Elijah, huh?
Who else was he? Who else was he? Can you tell us what other secrets you want, whatever secret you want to know, we'll be able to go back and ask Yahweh Shai and face to face, and he'll tell us. He can tell you who you were in regeneration. But we don't know that yet. That's why it says, but then face to face, we'll have the opportunity to ask Christ all these brain-boggling questions.
Yep.
Read on.
Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known.
And now we know in part. Some things we know, some things we don't. Why? Because remember, the Most High told Moses, some of these books you publish and make known, and then some of them you hold to yourself. No different than he told Ezra, the same thing, man.
God.
So there are books out here, which we know is the Bible and the Apocrypha, which we can prove, because truth is something that's proven, that they go together, and they have factual information. But there are other books, not so much, y'all. So I'm not disputing that there are other books, but those other books, or not factual, y'all.
Or they never been found.
And they never been found. Right. Good point, all right. Now let's get Psalm 68:11.
Psalm 68:11.
Mm-hmm. Then we're going to jump a little bit, man. We're kind of pressed for time. We're going to have to come back and do a little part two of this, too.
Come. Psalm 68 and verse 11.
Uh-huh.
The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it.
The Most High gave the word. It said great was the company of those that published it, man, which is facts. We're very blessed to have this this day and age so we can understand and know our history, our culture, and the ways of the Most High.
Yep.
Now let's get to the nitty-gritty. Let's get Jude chapter 1, verse 14. Let's go to the scene of all the controversy.
Scripture real quick, guys.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to pull a scripture in Psalms real quick because I said something earlier. When I said that these other books haven't been found, if the Most High wanted us to have those books, they'd be in the Bible. Let me check the words of that.
That's a good point, too, because why else would he give Moses those instructions to publish some and to keep some back? So we got what he wanted us to have.
It would be like calling God unjust because the same men who he made make the Bible, you're basically saying that the Most High couldn't find holy men during these times to preserve a Bible for us. I'm trying to find the scripture in Psalms where it says the word is like silver. Hold on. Psalms chapter 12, verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
It says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord.
Yeah, purified seven times. That's a number of completion, meaning the Most High's word is complete.
Okay. But check this out. It says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever.
So the word of the Most High has been preserved for us. Because you remember, it also tells you in Psalms that the Most High's covenant to his people was going to be for, it says, 1,000 generations.
Come.
1,000 generations. So we were supposed to be passing down his laws, statutes and commandments, his word, forever, man, basically, an indefinite amount of time. So let's go to Jude. Like I said, the scene of all the controversy. Jude 1 and verse 14.
Jude chapter 1 and verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam.
Here we go.
Prophesies of these sayings, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints.
So it says that Enoch prophesied. And this is where people, the scripture people like to use to validate the book of Enoch. But remember, can we read that again?
It says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things.
It said he prophesied, or did it say he wrote a book?
He prophesied.
It said he prophesied. Now, the definition for prophesy means to foretell or predict. To foretell or to predict. All right? Now, let's get Genesis. Chapter 4 and verse 17.
You see. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 17?
Yes, sir. And y'all can do this search on your own, man. Put in a search for Enoch in your search engine on your Bible app. Or if you got the old school concordance, man. Eastward or whatever you use.
Genesis chapter 4 and verse 17.
So that's what I did. Now watch this. Read.
And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city.
Now this is where Enoch pops on the scene. Read.
He builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch.
What verse is that?
Verse 17.
18. Read.
And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begot Mahujah, and Mahujah begot Methuselah, and Methuselah begot Lamech. Mm-hmm. And Lamech took unto him two wives, the name of one, Adah, and the name of the other, Zillah.
Was that it?
Okay.
Now, I pull these verses, y'all, because we read in 2 Ezra chapter 14 where the Most High gave specific instructions to Ezra and Moses, or Ezra was recounting the Moses conversation with the Most High about how the Most High told him to write some books and publish them, and some of them to keep secret. Instructions on what to do, what to write, so on and so forth. Now, if Enoch wrote a book, then wouldn't we be able to read where the Most High gave him instructions also, like he gave Moses and Enoch to write books? But we don't read that. All we read about him is him having kids. We just read it in Genesis, right?
Yep.
So he's mentioned there in Genesis. He's mentioned in Revelation about him prophesying, but prophesying don't mean to write no book. It means to foretell or predict something, okay? And once again, we haven't read, I ain't found a scripture yet where it said the Moses ordered or told Enoch to write a book. Genesis 5:18, please, sir.
Genesis chapter 5, from verse 18. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died.
Isn't that it?
Verse 21, it said, and Enoch lived 65 years.
Here we go. Enoch, read.
Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him.
God did what?
God took him.
The Most High took him. But did you hear the brother read anything concerning Enoch writing a book? No. It don't say that. We're not able to substantiate that he actually wrote a book by using the book that people say that the book he wrote is in. I hope that wasn't too confusing.
Not at all.
So he never wrote a book according to the Bible, man. It said that he prophesied. Now, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 24. I'm going to show y'all something, man. We got to be, like Nehemiah said, we got to read distinctively.
Okay.
So I did a little distinctive reading, and this is what I came up with. You got that out?
1 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 24. It says, and he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they say, is Saul also among the prophets?
So this is Saul they're talking about. And it said that Saul did what?
Prophesied.
Saul prophesied. Just like it told you, a Jew, that Enoch prophesied.
Yeah.
So Enoch got a book. Where is Saul? Where's the book of Saul at then? Because exactly. Saul prophesied also, right?
Yep.
Where's the book of Saul, y'all?
Exactly.
Was that it out?
That's it right there, Con.
1 Kings chapter 18, verse 24.
1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 24. Call ye on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answered by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophet of Baal, choose you one bullock of yourself, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock, which was
24.
1
Kings 18:24.
Ah, Salakia, I'm on 1824. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 24. Yeah. It says, and call ye on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answered by fire, I let him be. Okay. 2 Kings maybe?
Yes. Maybe try 2 Kings. I might have wrote it down wrong. Bear with me, y'all. Mm-mm. That ain't it. All right, we'll skip that one. Go to 1 Kings 22 and 10.
First Kings chapter 22 and verse 10. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them.
All the prophets did what?
Prophesied before them.
So, and to prophet or prophesy once again means to foretell, predict. This is what a prophet does. Now, I'm pulling this because it said that Jude prophesied, right? But a prophet ain't writing no books down. Now, let's get, I got to get this. So, a person that writes a book down or write down something that they've seen or the Most High told them is referred to as a scribe. And a scribe says a person who serves as a professional copyist, a public clerk, or a writer, scribe. So, that's what it means to be a scribe. Now, I'm not saying that prophets didn't write things down, because we know that we got Isaiah, we got Jeremiah, and other prophets that wrote things down. But the difference is the Most High told them to write these things down, and you can see where he said it in those books. But we don't see where the Most High told Enoch to write anything down. It just said that Enoch foretold of something that was going to happen, and we ain't found that. Now, I want you to read what you were reading earlier out of that book about Enoch.
Before we get that, I want to pull something real quick, because this is just some research that I did a couple of years ago regarding Jude chapter 1 and verse 14. When you read Jude chapter 1 and verse 14, it says that Enoch prophesied, right? Mm-hmm. So he obviously was teaching of Christ.
Okay. Right?
He was teaching of Christ to the people in the future, of the people of his generation. Now, who would he have prophesied about Christ to? Noah. Then Noah would have taught Shem, Ham, and Japheth, right? This is why every nation in the whole world has a story about a savior that's similar to Christ, right?
Okay.
You got Krishna, you got Buddha, you got Salvania, Zulus, Odin, Crete of Chaldea, Baal, right? You have Zor, you have Adad of Assyria, Achilles, Jesus, the list goes on, right? Adonis, the Virgin of Greece, Prometheus of Cassius, all these so-called stories that come from these different nations have a similar story of Christ. Where did they get this story from? They got it from Enoch prophesizing about Christ to Noah, Noah telling Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But the point I'm trying to make is, if he prophesies this and Noah prophesies this and Shem, Ham, and Japheth prophesies this, where are those books? Where's the book of Noah? Where's the book of Shem? Where's the book of Ham and Japheth? Right? Because obviously these stories they got from
Egypt. Right. And it would be in Genesis. And maybe he did prophesy of Yahushua. I don't know. Can we prove it? That would be my take on it.
Yeah.
But the other nations, remember, because we read it in 2 Ezra chapter 14.
Exactly.
He said to give it to the worthy and the unworthy.
Exactly.
So the other nations been had our books too. So they could have got that information from reading the Bibles themselves.
Exactly.
You know, or they could have got it from Moses or whoever. But they had access to the Bible no different than they do now.
Not trying to get off topic, but I just thought I'd bring that out.
Yeah, but good point, though.
Okay.
Good point, because all of them do have records of some type of faith.
Okay. So which book are we getting right now?
I want you to get the part where it talked about the Book of Enoch. Yeah, that's the book there.
Okay. The book is called The Canon of Scripture. It's by F.F. Bruce. Okay. And we are on page 85. This guy is a biblical scholar. He studied at the University of Aberdeen, and he studied at Cambridge University. He compiled this book of books that he thought belonged in the Bible and that didn't, and this is page 85. Okay. It says, another work which found no place in the Septuagint was the composite apocalyptic work called Enoch.
So the Septuagint is Greek, and it was a list of books, biblical books, that they felt needed to be recorded, needed to be compiled in this book.
Only about one-third of its Greek text had survived.
So, first of all, he had issues on even putting the book in the Septuagint, which why he put it in, and he said only one-third of it had survived, so it only had bits and pieces of it. Read.
I'm going to drop down a couple of lines down. It says, one reason for his approval of it, quoted, evidently as a genuine prophecy of the, we got to get this word down, antediluvian patriarch Enoch. Let me just read that. I'm going to just exclude that word right now. It says, only reason for his approval of it was the fact that it was quoted evidently as a genuine prophecy of the patriarch Enoch.
So, in which book?
By Jude, who calls himself servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James.
So this is the only reason that he said this would might be a book of interest or a canonical book. And this is the same reason a lot of brothers and sisters are picking this book up to read it, because it's mentioned in the book of Jude. But once again, it said that he prophesied, but I haven't found that where the Most High told him to write a book. I haven't found that. I'm not disputing the fact that he may or may not have been a prophet, but most of the prophets you're reading about, Most High actually was telling them to write stuff down or go tell somebody something. Tell Israel this, tell Israel that. But I don't read that in the Bible about Enoch being told to go do any of this.
Yeah. And let me give you this right here. This is the gold right here. It says, this is what these scholars have came to conclusion about these little fragments of Enoch that they found. It says, but that in itself would not have been enough. Others were disposed to exclude Jude from the New Testament because of its quoting a work of doubtful authenticity.
Read that part again.
It said, others were disposed to exclude you from the New Testament because of its quoting a work of doubtful authenticity.
They said it was doubtful. It was authentic. Just because it mentioned Enoch prophesied.
They wanted to exclude the whole book of Jude.
They wanted to exclude the whole book, man, just because it mentioned Enoch prophesying, which would allude to him having a book. Hey, but y'all, that's our time. I hate to end it there, but we don't have to. We got to come back with a part two to this so we can finish up. We got plenty more information where that came from. And we actually dig into the book of Enoch and the book of Jasher and bring out their contradictions. But we're going to continue this hopefully next Tuesday, y'all. So y'all tune in
for sure next Tuesday
to get the rest of this. Thanks for tuning in this morning to get some spiritual food. Shabbat the Water Ox for hooking up the broadcast for us. And till next time, y'all. And hold up, matter of fact, I'll see y'all For those listening in, here in San Antonio, I'll see y'all this weekend, man, at the Feast of Tabernacles. Look forward to seeing y'all. Eat some good food, listen to some good music. Might pull the mic out, too, man, do some karaoke this weekend. But thanks, y'all, for tuning in. And with that, I want to say, Shalom, you got anything you want to say to the people out there?
Nope. That's it. Shalom, everybody.
Shalom, y'all.